I'm Vermont Edition producer Daniela Fierro, popping in to say we've edited this podcast a little for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Today, we are live from the Tunbridge World's Fair. For 4 days every year, this little valley in central Vermont fills up with carnival games, rides, fried food stands, cattle, pigs, kids, and much more. The Vermont Edition crew is broadcasting live from Heritage Hall with a clear shot of the Ferris wheel in front of us. So if you hear some shrieks or shouts or laughter during the next hour, well, that's what it is. We're not taking calls today, seeing as we are at the fair. Did you grow up coming to the Tunbridge World's Fair? What do you remember about it? Maybe a favorite food or an exhibition? You can email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Now, helping us kick off this hour is Gordon Barnaby, the president and director of the fair. Gordon, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you. So you grew up going to the fair, right?
I grew up here. I have been here every year as far as I can remember.
And what are some of your very earliest memories of the fair?
Well, I used to show animals and probably showing cattle and racing through the midways when it's full as kids, meeting all my friends. This is where we always hung out.
Did you ever win any ribbons?
Yeah, we won a few. My sister was with me. She always accused me of she did all the work and I got all the glory, but that's...
Well, is your sister around? We can get her on air. We can litigate.
Yeah, she's here. I tried to force her into it, but she wasn't doing nothing.
Well, it sounds like the fair holds a really special relevance for your family.
Oh, yeah. My grandparents all worked here. They used to have a eat and joint right underneath the grandstand back when we could. They were here for years. My grandfather collected the garbage, and so we've been here for a while.
What'd they serve at the stand?
Mostly homemade baked beans and pies, and it was all homemade. It was grandma's homemade.
That sounds so delicious. Yeah. I know. I walked through before the show, and there's a lot of stuff that I thought might make my stomach hurt a little bit if I ate it before going on the radio. So I'm waiting until right after. Yeah. Really, the fried dough is what I'm eyeballing.
French fries is my killer.
French fries?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that, how the fair has changed over the years that you've been coming here. I mean, I've heard the nightlife in particular was a little different.
It was pretty rough back when we were kids. We weren't allowed to be at the fair at night because it was pretty rough. They had the girly shows, and it was pretty nasty around here, but they all came and had a good time. And over the course of things, we've really turned it into a more agricultural family-type fair, I think. And there's still a lot of history here. As this building shows and Antique Hill shows, how it's changed and gone back and forth. But it used to be a little rough, but it's... My father used to say that they took all the good fun out of it when we started changing it, but...
Looks pretty fun to me.
No, it's still... I think it's a lot more fun for the families and everything now than it was then.
Yeah, and listeners might be able to hear the sound of lots of people around us. We are in Heritage Hall. It is Agriculture Education Day, so there are, I think, what was it, 40 busloads of kids expected to be here today?
I went down and counted 54 yellow buses.
Woo.
And that doesn't count the... little white buses and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a pile of kids here.
Yeah, a lot of kids with their backpacks on and their hats and eating food. It looks like a great time. Well, you mentioned we're right here in a very important place, Heritage Hall. We are also joined by Nancy Howe, who is the director and superintendent of Heritage Hall. Nancy, thanks for taking time out of your work day, I guess, to come talk to us.
I'm glad to do it.
So tell us a little bit about Heritage Hall. Where are we right now?
Well, in the old days, it was the Brooksy's Restaurant and Bingo Hall.
Ooh.
And prior to COVID, it was deteriorating badly, and it was torn down. We rebuilt from scratch this building and decided that we would honor our 150th history 2 years ago and filled it up with fair memorabilia and that sort of thing. Now we've kind of just explored in conjunction with the Tunbridge Historical Society some of the things that we find interesting about not only the fair but our community and life here in Tunbridge.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful day here right now, and there's lots of kids here in shorts and T-shirts, and those outfits really contrast with some of the historic outfits that you all have set up on mannequins of what people used to wear to the fair. Could you tell us about some of those?
Well, our theme this year was to commemorate the Korean War as being the forgotten war, and we have uniforms and such, but we also wanted to marry it up with some brides, no pun intended. So we have some vintage wedding dresses. We have the types of dresses that a good dress that a lady would have worn in the 50s. So we're getting a lot of positive comments because there's a lot of material in the clothes we're displaying, and on a day like this, not so much on the folks that have come to the fair.
Yeah, Gordon, I see a three-piece suit over there. You should dress up.
Don't think that probably go with my wardrobe very well.
We're also surrounded by some historic vehicles, too. Nancy, could you tell us about those?
We like our cars and trucks. So we have a 1952 or 53, I'm spacing, Chevrolet pickup. It's fire engine red. It's a beauty. And we have a 56 Bel Air, two-tone, gray and white, and it is just plain cherry. The cars are just great.
Yeah, and what about over here? There's some wagons?
We have a steam car that was built in 1897 by an old gentleman in Canaan, New Hampshire, and the Silly family, who have long been prominent in the fair, were able to acquire it. And so we're displaying that as our honeymoon couple, along with a lot of documentation about how the darn car works.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they had too long a trip because it only goes 5 or 6 miles an hour.
Ooh.
And it doesn't do steep hills.
So. That'd be hard to get to this fair, then.
Yes.
Well, if you're just joining us, we are live at the Tunbridge World's Fair in Tunbridge, Vermont. If you grew up coming to this fair, you still come every year, email us and tell us about your favorite part of the fair, vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Gordon, I'm wondering, since you've been coming here your whole life, if there is like a special memory that sticks out to you from maybe when you were a teenager or a young person, that kind of brings you back to those early days of the fair?
I think one of the neatest things, when I got to be a teenager, we got to stay down here at night. And when my grandmother owned had the cook shack, us boys would, there was a couple of us grandsons of the same age, and we got to stay in the overnight. And so our nights were really short, but we had a really good, we were supposed to be guarding the place, but I'm not sure who was guarding who.
Yeah, how much work you were doing.
Yeah, but that, those are the kind of things that really, and again, it was a family thing. There was three or four of us. We're cousins, and we hung out there and had a great time at the fair.
Yeah. Nancy, how long have you been coming to the fair?
This is my 49th fair.
Wow.
I've missed two and the COVID year. I was 18 before I ever came. My dad and the guys used to come over and then, do what they do and come home. And in 72, my dad traded some heifers for a broke-down racehorse. And in 73, he'd fallen in love with the horse, so he started racing horses here. So that's how I got involved with the fair.
Do you remember the horse's name?
His name is Air Zeus.
Mm.
And we did that until the 150th, and we stopped racing harness horses because it was just, horses are so much faster now, our track is narrow, there's so many people, and it just wasn't. It wasn't safe enough to suit me because I knew the people on both sides of the track.
Mm.
The exhibitors back there, but the people here that might walk across the track. Most of the people here today are several generations away from animal agriculture, and animals aren't going to stop on a dime like a car. And so we kind of moved on, and the directors shifted me over in here, which is, I love doing this too.
you get the shade, too.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Well,
yeah. So you mentioned the racetrack. That's one of the earliest features of this fair,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yes.
Any of the old pictures you'll see, will, the racetrack will be one of the major things there.
Mm. And it started in 1867. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. It's been going for a while.
What are some of the other oldest parts of the fair?
Well, the Floral Hall is one of the oldest buildings. That and the office that you came by, the main office at the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't realize the jail. There's a jailhouse across the track that they used to use back in the good old days. The bars are actually still on it, on parts of it.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, you know, we could always use it if we needed to. So there's a couple of little buildings that have been here for a long time.
Yeah. And when did you start getting these big rides, like the Ferris wheel, things like that?
Well, they've always had some of them, but these bigger ones, I don't know, it's been 30 years probably, some of them.
No.
Yeah. Once the girly shows went out, we had to start filling it with something.
Was there a lot of pushback when that era ended?
There was it for a while.
Yeah.
There was, but I think most of them were ready for it. And it needed cleaning up, and that was the time that things got cleaned up, and we just started changing the rides and changing the people that were doing the exhibits and stuff. But so I think it all kind of changed there together.
Mm.
You know, we still have the beer hall, which is pretty rare. That's been there for a long time, and that's mellowed quite a lot, but it's still there.
Well, you run a tight ship now. One of the hallmarks of this fair these days is the involvement of the Norwich Cadets, right?
Yeah.
They play an important
role.
And
they've been here, well, they're going close to 30 years. It was a couple years ago, it was 25th year. And it's been a great relationship because we would never have the manpower to do the parking and the ticket sales and stuff like that. And that's changed a lot. The cadets have changed a lot in the last 30 years
of
the whole organization. But it's been a great relationship. And, you know, and their club, it goes to a club, and they make a fair amount of money at it. So everybody seems to be happy with it.
Good for them. Well, Gordon, you mentioned that the French fries are your food downfall at the fair. Nancy, do you have a weak spot for fair food?
4-H ice cream booth.
Ooh, yes.
All day long.
All day long. What's the earliest you've gotten an ice cream at the fair?
Oh, probably not before 11 o'clock.
Okay, that's very civilized. And then lastly, I'm just wondering if you could each share, you know, when you think about each of your family's connections to the fair, what do you hope that, like, the younger kids in your family get to experience here?
Well, I personally, you know, hope that they get to feel the community side of it. There's a lot of that. I just had my first grandson. This will be the first year he's here.
Oh, congratulations.
So, looking forward.
Yeah. And Nancy?
I think it's that sense of community, you know, re-engaging with old friends, meeting new people, just sharing the happiness that we feel about being here. I mean, this is, where else would you want to be on Tunbridge Fair weekend but Tunbridge Fair?
That's what we were thinking, too. That's why Vermont Edition is here live at Tunbridge Fair. It is Agriculture Education Day. We're surrounded by kids, by fair volunteers, animals, games, rides, all of it. Keep listening this hour. We're going to talk to lots more folks from the fair. We do have to take one quick break, so I'll have to thank Gordon Barnaby, President, Director of the fair. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day.
Thank you for having us.
We got an email just now from a listener named Kate who writes, "The only time I was at the Tunbridge Fair was after Tropical Storm Irene came through in 2011, and a team of oxen was moving a new bridge in place. It was something I hadn't seen before. They went around in circles, which makes sense, but not what I expected." Well, thanks, Kate, for writing in. If you have memories at the Tunbridge World's Fair, we would love to share them this hour as well. If you hear lots of sounds, that's because we are in Heritage Hall, right in the center of the fair. Joining us now is Jen Tygeson, the director and superintendent of cattle at the Tunbridge Fair. Jen, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Okay, so what does it mean to be the superintendent of cattle? What do you do?
So I'm in charge of the dairy show, mm-hmm. just making sure everybody's organized. We get all our cattle entries in. Everybody's happy and healthy. And this year we're up in numbers. So we have 165 cows that are showing. The heifers, the young cows, are showing today. And then our milking cows show tomorrow. And then our juniors show a lot on this weekend. So, yeah, just keeping track of everybody and all the different entries and classes that go on throughout the fair.
That's a lot of cows and a lot of people to keep track of.
It sure is, yeah.
So you have all the way down from little baby cows all the way up to these big, I saw some real big horns.
Correct. So those are probably the steers and oxen you're thinking of with the big horns. But yes, we have spring calves, which were born just in March and April, all the way up through yearlings and then milking cows who are, I think one of the oldest ones that I saw is probably 9 or 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. So how long have you been involved with the fair?
Since I was a little girl. Okay. But I have been the superintendent of dairy cattle for, I think this is my fourth year. And I've been a director at the fair. This is my second year. But I grew up showing cows here, so it's kind of in my blood, and happy to be continuing with it.
Yeah. Is this something, a family business of sorts, or something you learned from coming to the fair?
Yep. So we have our own dairy cows. I grew up on a Holstein farm just a couple miles down the road, and we have a number of different types of breeds that we show on our own. Mm. And we also, I'm a 4-H leader as well, so we have a lot of kiddos that are showing cows with us too. So like to continue with the next generation as well.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that. Is this, do you find the kids who are involved that you work with these days, are there, you know, the same number of kids that come from farming families as there used to be, or is this kind of an entry point into this world of agriculture and livestock for more and more kids?
Yep. So it actually is a pretty good mix. We have some kids that are from farms and a lot of kids who this is their brand new experience for them, showing cows. So we have a lot of non-farm kids who just love animals and would love the experience to be able to show them and just love up on them and have a great time with them. They learn a lot of responsibility. They work really well together. And it's really them learning how to take care of somebody other than themselves. So it's a pretty cool experience.
Mm. Do you teach kids how to milk?
Yep, we do. Yeah.
What do you say to a kid who's a little bit nervous to get that close to an animal that's much larger than them?
Yep. Yeah, it takes a little while. Sometimes some of them are actually not shy at all, and they go right up to the cows, and, you know, maybe it would take a little bit longer for some other ones. It really just depends on the kiddo. But I'm all about building confidence over time. So giving them the opportunity to work with different animals, if there's some that they're more comfortable with than others. We've had kids who've worked with chickens and smaller animals as well as cows. So whatever they're most comfortable with.
Yeah. We are live today from the Tunbridge World's Fair. If you have a special memory from the fair you'd like to share with us, you can email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Jen, I'm asking everybody this today because I feel like it's the most important question. What is your favorite fair food?
I'm going to have to say the maple cream covered donuts down in the Sugar House is probably my favorite. Although, I mean, I always like to sample things from throughout the fair, you know. Each day I try something new. So I look to see what might be new this year that might be different than other years. But, yeah, I'm a sucker for maple cream covered donuts.
I thought you were just going to say maple creamy and I was going to be excited. But then it took a turn.
No.
Wow. Delicious.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the competitions that you are involved in. What are you giving out ribbons for?
Sure. So today is our open dairy show for the heifers. Okay. So it's all of our young calves and heifers. Anybody who is not had a calf yet, so nobody that's producing milk. So we have 8 different dairy breeds that are showing. So Ayrshire, Brown Swiss, Dutch Belt, Guernsey, Holstein, Jersey, Lineback, and Milking Shorthorns are all the different breeds that are showing. And then each first and second place winner of each class comes back for junior champion, and they compete for the top cow in their breed or the top heifer in their breed. And then each top heifer in that breed competes for the supreme champion heifer. So that will be happening shortly today. It's actually going on right now. And then tomorrow is our milking cow classes, so just the milking cows. Saturday morning is our youth show for fitting and showmanship. So that's all about the kids and how well they're showing their animals, how clean they are, how well they present them, that type of thing. And then Sunday we have an adult showmanship class. So a lot of adults who showed as kids are coming back to show off what they can do in the show ring, which is pretty fun. And then we have a costume class, which is a huge favorite of a lot of people.
What's that?
The kids and calves dress up, and they have some type of theme that they dress up as, so it's very fun.
What are some of the best themes that you've seen?
So we've had, like, milk and cookies. We've had superheroes. We've had somebody with a cow named Shakira, and she dressed up as Shakira and the singer. So we've had lots of different creative options. And then at 1 o'clock on Sunday, we have our junior show. So just our youth are showing their animals in the confirmation classes. Mm. So every day we're busy.
Yeah. Okay, this might be a silly question, but have you ever been a part of a competition and you have seen a cow or a calf and it has just blown your mind with how amazing it is or how big or how small or something that just really stood out to you? Or does it all blend together after years of being involved?
It does stand out. We show our own cows at local, regional, state, and national levels. So I've seen all kinds of pretty cool things throughout. Yeah. At the fair myself, probably one thing that stands out to me was when my son first started showing cows, and he had his first little calf that he showed. That was so much fun.
How old was he when he first did that?
I think he was almost 6, so he's 5.
Oh, my goodness. Yep,
and he's just about ready to turn 21 right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a long time ago.
Is he still coming back to the fair with you?
He is not. He's in college right now.
Okay.
So, yep. So we give him a pass on
that. Yeah, that's fair.
I'm sure he'll be back in a couple years.
Jennifer Tygeson is the superintendent of cattle here at the Tunbridge World's Fair. Jen, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad
to
be here.
It's been a real treat.
Thank you.
Well, if you have a memory from the fair that you would like to share, you can send it to us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Usually we head right over from our studio to the Champlain Valley Fair. This is the first time that Vermont Edition has come to the Tunbridge World's Fair, so we are very excited to be here. Right now it's a beautiful day here in Tunbridge. The sun is out. There are tons of kids and school buses here because it is the Agriculture Education Day here at the fair. So if you hear some little kid voices behind you, that's exactly what it is. Our next guest today, I'm very lucky to be with these two guys. I've seen them sitting in rocking chairs chatting this whole morning while we've been getting ready. Baxter Doty and Warren Baldwin. They are two longtime fairgoers, and they've been here with us in Heritage Hall. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. So, all right, first, tell us about how long you have been coming to the fair, Warren.
Well, let's see. Go back to 1965.
Ooh.
Well, that would be 35 and 24, 50, 59.
You asking me to do math? Because I can't do it.
Around 50. So let's call it 60 years. 60 years.
So what did it look like back then compared to now?
Well, let's see. We used to have a demolition derby, which Baxter will probably talk to you about. Because he was king of the derby.
We have the king of the derby here.
Oh,
wow.
He is. He is.
Baxter, is it true?
Yes.
Did you drive in it?
Yes.
He did.
Wow. And you got all your fingers and your toes still?
Yep.
Okay.
Still got them.
Okay, Warren, there's the demo derby. What else?
Well, let's see. When my wife was alive, I was married for 67 years. She and I and some others would run the ambulance booth that's out here, which is the tear-off tickets. You pay $1.
Yep.
And you could win $100. So that was our contribution. And before you nailed me, I was on my way over there to make my annual donation.
Well, you better make it afterwards or they're going to come yell at me.
I will.
Okay. Yeah. And you, Warren, you drive up here every year now from South Carolina, is it?
Right.
You moved away for the winters?
Right. Well, yes. But when we first came here in the 60s, we were looking for land. Mm-hmm. We bought some. And back then, land, the price of an acre, was going for $300 because that's what the state was paying to take eminent domain for the 89 interstate. So we bought 4 acres, and this is going to make the tax people go crazy. But my first tax bill for 4 acres of land with nothing on it was $3.75.
Wow. Well, it's good we're not taking calls today.
Today, it's over 4,000. Believe that?
Nope.
I hope Mark McDonald is listening.
All right, before we get too deep into tax policy, I'm going to go over to you, Baxter. How long have you been coming to the fair?
Oh, ever since I was 8, 10 years old. Because yeah. I live right down the road here. I can walk to the fair. Then I was, the farm was right by my house that I could walk to the farm. And I started there going, seeing the calves and stuff. I ended up working at that fair. And, of course, when the chores were done, over, ride the bike up to the fair and just, you know, enjoyed it.
Yeah. Did you ride your bike here today?
No. Side by side.
You mentioned the animals. Do you ever show any animals?
No.
No?
No.
Just
no,
came to look?
Never had. No, he had some pretty nice Jersey cattle, yeah. And he never showed them. Yeah. Never showed them. Hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So the two of you were sitting close by to our table. That's why you're unlucky enough for us to come snag you.
Yeah.
But I saw you talking to a bunch of guys in your rocking chairs over there. I'm guessing you know lots and lots of people who come to the fair every year.
What we have going now is us old boys have breakfast every Wednesday morning. We get together at 8 o'clock and we go have breakfast and just talk things over, you know. And so there's still a few here today that, you know, still have breakfast with us. Mm. Yeah, we have a good breakfast.
Well, Baxter, tell them what our organization is called.
You.
We're called
this
the
is
Romeos.
You. The Romeos, yeah. Really?
And this this is an acronym.
Oh, okay.
For retired old men eating out.
That's pretty good.
And I'm the oldest one.
Yeah, he is.
I hear you have a birthday coming up next month.
Yep, 97.
97.
Yeah. How about that?
How old do you feel?
Today, probably about 91. And at my age, naps are mandatory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They should be for everyone, I think.
Yeah. Mm. But we got around 9 to 12 guys that have breakfast every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Baxter knows everybody in Tunbridge. Mm. So he keeps us up to meet on, you know, what's going on, what's for sale, what's got sold, and who's in the hospital. And
yeah.
Where do you go to breakfast?
Well, we go to we take turns.
Okay.
Yeah.
We go to the Vermont Law School cafeteria.
Okay.
And they set up 3 tables for us and good service there. And then before that, we used to go to the store up here.
Yeah, the Tunbridge store. Right. But we went to 108 on the block down south, but she got out of business. So.
Yeah.
And then when this store up here was bought, they fixed it up nicely, and we were going there. Then we're going to what is called Grandma's Kitchen down on the block down in South Orange. So we help them both out. We don't go to just one.
Okay.
And then,
spreading the business around.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. The most we've had is 12.
Mm. 12 Not Romeos.
12 yeah. Romeos. But some of them go back home down south, so we lose them for the winter.
They're smart people.
I'm not saying that.
All right, gentlemen, I have a question for you. We and listeners, if you're just tuning in, we are live at the Tunbridge World's Fair. We're in Heritage Hall right now. We got an email from a listener named Sue, who writes, "My favorite memory of the Tunbridge Fair was going there with my college dorm mates in the 1980s and watching the tobacco spitting contest. It was so much fun, and we laughed so hard." Do you all remember this?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you ever compete?
No, ma'am. I don't chew tobacco.
You have a glint in your eye, Warren.
Yeah.
You haven't asked me what I do.
What do you do?
I'm a wood turner. I turn wooden bowls on lathes.
Uh-huh.
And I have two entries over at Thorough Hall.
Oh, really?
That I did. Looking for another blue ribbon.
Mm.
I'll tell you a story about the blue ribbons. When my wife was alive, she used to make quilts. She would enter a quilt in Floral Hall, and if she got a blue ribbon, she got $8.
Wow.
If I got a blue ribbon, I get $4.
Why is that?
I haven't figured that out. I've got to ask that director if she'll come back from the fair, see if we can get that straightened out.
Wow. Yeah. The matriarchy.
Yeah, and I've been making bowls since I was in high school.
Wow.
So that would have been 80 years ago.
80 years ago.
And the first bowl I made for my mother. Dad gave me a piece of apple wood, some cherry, and maple. And I made a segmented bowl for her. And when she died, I took possession of it.
Mm.
So when people say, how long you've been making bowls? It's most of my life.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. If I can sell one, I'll take the money and buy a new chisel.
Mm.
Like that.
Mm. Well, it's great that fair gives you the opportunity to share that art with the community.
Yes, yes. It's very, very good. I used to do stained glass. And in fact, my lady friend is with me today. She has a beautiful stained glass panel over there of a three-masted ship in full sail.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I hope she gets a blue ribbon today.
Me too. I'll be rooting for her. Baxter, are you an artist as well?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, I can imagine you're still a fair connoisseur, so I'll ask you my question of the day. What's your favorite fair food?
I like that onion.
The Bloomin' Onion?
Bloomin' Onion. I like that pretty well. Yeah. Yeah.
Warren?
No thanks. No onions.
What's your favorite then?
Well, I like the Italian sausage, but then these English people that have the booth right near Floral Hall, they have pulled pork.
Ooh.
And that is delicious too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now you're getting me hungry. It's about lunchtime for us. Our next guest this hour is Deb Mullen. She is the president of Friends of the Tunbridge Fair. It's a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to preserving and maintaining the World's Fair. Deb, welcome.
Well, hi.
Don't mean to make you nervous here. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been coming to the fair.
Well, I've been coming since I was a young child. I used to come with my grandparents and my mother and me and my siblings used to come down and have a picnic lunch in the parking lot for, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't get to buy a lot of food on the grounds, but we always had good food and just had a great time.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that your organization does to support the fair? How does it work?
Well, we do a lot of fundraising to help with, like, this building. We fundraised almost half the money to build Heritage Hall. We run the shuttle service the 4 days of the fair so that people can get around the fair easily. Anybody that can't walk well or has mobility issues can ride. And like this year, we're donating a bunch of money toward the new bathroom that they put in. We've done a lot of stuff. Over the last 17 years, we've fundraised and donated about $250,000 for the fair.
Mm. Wow. $250,000.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
We are also joined today by Lori Berger, who's a member of your organization, the Friends of Tunbridge Fair, and you are also with Antique Hill. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Tell me about Antique Hill.
Well, actually, Antique Hill is just the latest of my jobs at the fair.
Ooh.
I've done a lot of different ones over the years, including being the chain girl for chaining up wrecks from the Demolition Derby, which was a lot of fun. And Got several marriage proposals from that.
Oh, really? Did you take anybody up?
No, but I did marry Deb's brother, so.
Oh. There you
go. Always say it gives me legitimacy.
Did you two meet at the fair?
No, but we met at the birthday party of an elderly farmer who was a big part of the fair and whose family was a founder of the fair. So
wow.
The fair does run strongly through all of the stories.
Yes.
But I've been on Antique Hill now for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a background in historic preservation and also in equestrian science. And so for me, working with horse-drawn equipment and explaining how it works and how early agriculture evolved is something that I just love to do, and I finally found what I think is my best niche at the fair.
It's a perfect job for you.
I'm also noticing,
is your necklace, is that a bridle?
Snaffle bits.
Oh.
Yeah, egg butt snaffles for any of your equine-oriented listeners.
Oh, I'm sure we have a lot. So I wandered up to Antique Hill before today's show began, and I saw a lot of historical reenactments going on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about what some of the things are that people can see from a past time if they go up there?
Sure. So we actually have Civil War reenactors up there, and that's a lot of fun for people to check out and see how people lived in that time, how soldiers lived in the field. So there are several tents, and they do cooking and other things, and they also have period-appropriate muskets, things like that, and can talk about Civil War history with Civil War buffs. And also in the log cabin, they have people who are doing period cooking demonstrations. And on a hot day, you can see, and they're all wearing period clothing.
Oof.
And you can imagine what it was like for people to be cooking in a summer day.
Oh, my gosh. No, thank you.
Yeah, not a lot of fun. But they do make edible food up there. We have some people doing spinning and other fiber arts that are from the 18th and 19th century.
I saw a long line for apple cider.
Yes, there's also a number of active demonstrations of farm equipment, including a cider press, and also lumber and carving, blacksmithing, early printing press, and a lot of other handwork.
Mm. Deb, what is your favorite part of the fair?
Oh, I like to watch the pulling. I watch a lot of ox pulling and horse pulling, pony pulling, and I like the animals. And like I said before, we run a shuttle service to get people around the grounds. I do a lot of that. And it's great just to see people. And especially when you drive the shuttle, you see a lot of people that come back year after year and need a ride, and just hearing the stories of, you know, how many years people have been coming and where they're coming from. You know, a couple years ago there was like a 97-year-old guy that I picked up and gave him a ride around the grounds, and he lived up in the Colchester area, but Tunbridge is his favorite fair, so he makes his way down. He said he doesn't even go to Champlain Valley the Champlain Valley Fair. He doesn't go to that anymore because it's too commercial for him. He comes down here because he wants to come to an agricultural fair.
Yes, and as our listeners might be able to hear, we are in Heritage Hall. There are lots of little kids walking around. There's classes, busloads full of kids that are here for Agriculture Education Day. We're seeing lots of groups in different tie-dye colored shirts. It really feels like it has that family-friendly vibe. Lori, how have you seen the fair change the most over the years that you've been involved?
Well, I would say it's the emphasis on making it a little bit more family-friendly. Before my time, I've heard some interesting stories.
We've already heard about the girly shows, don't worry.
No, we're not going there. Let's see, I've been part of the fair for almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
And mostly there are certain things that, like the Demolition Derby is no longer. I think it's maybe in some ways a little less beer-centric culture, or at least it's a different kind of beer-centric culture now, I would say. Those are the things that stick out the most, I guess. But just that they're trying to offer more things that are family friendly, and the emphasis on education, I think, is increased quite a bit. And that's one of the things that I love about being on the board of the Friends, is that we can, it gives us an opportunity to come up with ideas for better agricultural education and more ways that people can enjoy and access the fair. And helps to come up with it helps that we can come up with ways to keep the fair relevant even in a less agrarian society. Mm. But education and that emphasis, I think, is something that's starting to come to the front more now than when I first started coming here 30 years ago.
Yeah. And Deb, I'm wondering if you could kind of explain for some listeners who haven't been either to this part of Vermont or to the fair specifically at Tunbridge, what the role of an event like this is in forging those community ties that kind of outlast just the 4 days of the fair.
Oh, the people in this area, so much of the time, you know, when you talk about your schedule and the things that you need to get done, it's well, we'll do that before the fair, and then we'll do that after the fair. And it's fair time, you know, when days start to get a little shorter and the weather changes a little and gets a little cooler, then we call it, you know, it's fair weather. And it really, like, for the town of Tunbridge, the fairgrounds is like a hub almost. We don't have a town green or anything like that, so a lot of our events in Tunbridge are based around the fairgrounds and, you know, Memorial Day, anything, any celebration like that. We always get to use the fairgrounds, so it's a great resource, and there's so many people that get married here. I mean, actually, they even started doing funerals here since COVID, because we have bigger buildings, you know, people aren't so crowded, and so, I mean, the grounds get used almost every weekend all summer.
Last question, most important question, as I've been saying all day, what is your favorite fair food? Deb, we'll start with you.
I think I really like the maple creamies a lot from the Orange County Sugar Makers. That's one of my favorite things.
A classic choice.
Yep.
And Lori?
It's a tie for me between Angelino's sausage, and which we always buy some to have with us for the winter to add into things, a little bit of the fair year round, and also barbecue. The English barbecue does the most amazing ribs, and I'd say I live for those ribs all year. Oh. I've never found any place that does ribs as well as they do, so that's definitely a favorite for me.
Lori Berger is a board member with the Friends of the Tunbridge Fair, and she is also with Antique Hill. Lori, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We are also joined just now by Deb Mullen, the president of Friends of the Tunbridge Fair. Deb, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I was glad to talk to you.
And enjoy the rest of the fair, you two.
Thank you.
While we get our next and final guest set up here, I will remind listeners who are just joining us that we are live today at the Tunbridge World's Fair. It is a beautiful sunny day here. I have already had one soft pretzel, one iced coffee, and I am eyeballing right now from Heritage Hall what my next mark is. I think it's going to be French fries. We are in Heritage Hall surrounded by quilts, old cars, and lots of folks who have been coming to the fair for years and years and years. Lots of multi-generational families here. And our next guest this hour is 10-year-old Lydia LaRoque. She is part of the LaRoque Farm in Randolph Center. And Lydia, I hear you just competed in the log skid?
Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
So it's where you hook you have your team of oxen, and then you hook the log to them, and then you have an obstacle course. So like this one was, you had to weave through barrels.
Okay.
And then you had to do a full haw circle, which is when they come to you, haws when they come to you. You had to do a full haw circle, then you had to go through a bridge. They had bale twine, so you had to open the gate. Like, it's like a gate at home. And then we had to turn around and park the log after we shut the gate.
Easy as that.
Yeah.
Where'd you learn how to do this?
My dad did it. He did 4-H growing up, so I wasn't into it until this year. I got into it last year and this year.
Mm. Okay, so it sounds like you have a couple cows to take care of. Okay.
Yeah.
Names?
Star and Light are the ones I have.
Star and Light?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
So what is training like? How did you get ready for the log skid?
It's a lot.
Yeah?
So I got them in October, and first you just have to start bonding with them. And then you'll start walking them around. And then get up is when you want them to go forward. Whoa is when you want them to stop. G is when you want them to go away from you. And haw is when you want them to come to you, and then the hardest command to teach is back up when you want them to back up.
How do you teach that?
So we will start halter training, and then we'll just start walking around with them and saying the commands, and then finally, like, sometime it'll just click in their head that get up means walk and whoa means stop in the other commands. So we do that, and then once they know those, and, like, as soon as you say it, they do what you want, then we'll go to putting them in a yoke just in the stall. And then we'll go to taking them out with the yoke. And then once that happens, you just do that for a little bit, take walks, get them used to the yoke, and then you'll start hooking things up to them. So, like, mostly you start with the tire at the beginning. And then you usually can go to log or you can go to cart. The thing about cart is it makes a lot of noise. So
first, do they get scared?
Yeah, they can get sometimes, like, scared and get, like, what's behind us because it makes so much noise on the road. But when you start with log or tire, you always have a chain dragging first. And you just have them getting used to the sound. So they're better when you go to cart.
Okay.
And hearing the dragon noise.
What are your tips for getting a cow to trust you and to feel calm around you?
It's all about the bond and the time you spend with them and everything. So, like, when I first got them, I was down there a lot. And I just keep, like, patting them and everything. And then finally they just bonded with me. And then they started, then they learned to trust me. So that's why they keep calm with me. Because they learned to trust me.
Yeah. So you're with your family, runs La Roque Farm. What do you do on the farm to help your family?
Well, there's a good amount of stuff. So, like, we'll help build fence sometimes. And we'll just help take care of the animals.
Mm-hmm. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, one sister. She's 12.
Okay.
She's out there showing right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you going to go cheer her on after this?
Yeah, probably.
Cool. All right, my most important question I've been asking all of our guests, Lydia, what is your favorite fair food?
Oh, that has to be tied with blooming onions and fried dough.
Ooh, okay, you're a fried food girl like me.
Yeah.
Have you had either of those yet today?
Not yet.
All right, do you think you're going to get one after the show?
Probably, maybe.
Okay, awesome. Lydia La Roque just competed in the log skid. Lydia, are you competing in anything else?
Yes. Oh. I have best trained later today. Then tomorrow we'll have cart class and another one, and then we'll have some Saturday and some Sunday classes. So.
Got it. All right, well, good luck in your other competitions, and thanks for talking with me.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it for our show from today's Tunbridge World's Fair. The fair is going on for 3 more days, so you better come down here. It's beautiful out right now. Thank you to everybody who made this possible and for stopping by the Vermont Public Table here outside of Heritage Hall. We will be back in the studio next week with lots more shows for you.